Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro raised bed soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro raised bed soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Paul and George here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here with you until 3 o'clock. Just a reminder, tomorrow we'll broadcast live from the Decoy. Friday will be at Eastern or 9. But last night, the Houston Astros got a victory. They won 2-1. Victor Caratini got the job done. Second time this season, pinch hit walk off for him. They moved to 17-25 on the season. They are 5.5 back now. The Seattle Mariners. They're crawling their way out of the depths of hell.
Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking across the floor. Have you ever seen?
What is that from?
Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Okay.
You've never seen that movie?
I have.
It's about the story of how Santa became Santa.
I guess I just don't remember that.
It's a hit banger from that movie, along with another song, which is, let's just say, not aged well.
Mm.
If you sit on my lap today, a kiss, a toy is the price you'll pay.
What a start real to the song. Show. I didn't know that's a real song.
Yeah, those claymation Christmas classics.
Oh, it's one of those creepy claymation movies. That's why.
Yeah.
Those movies do weird me out, man. They're weird.
They don't weird me out. It's just my childhood that I get to watch once a year. And it doesn't really age as you get more and more cynical, skeptical, and like to poke holes in it. But the Astros are putting one foot in front of the other. And they're walking across the floor.
Unless you're Ronald Blanco and you're not playing for the next 10 days.
Yeah.
So, in the fourth inning, Ronald Blanco gets his glove checked, gets tossed, pending 10-game suspension on the way. They will wait for Major League Baseball to do their official investigation. I guess they're just gonna test it to make sure it's just
rosin. They're not going to test a damn thing. So,
yeah.
Joe, I was in Seattle when the first person who was caught for doctoring a ball, Hector Santiago, was busted. Do you know what they did? They put the glove in a kitchen trash bag. They put it in a trash bag.
And then they sent it?
They sent it, in quotation marks. They're not sending bleep. They're just going to suspend him 10 games. Do you think that they're going to do an investigation of just how sticky the glove is? I don't even know how you do that. It seems like it's a subjective thing.
I think they're more like they're testing it for to make sure, see if there's substance there that's not just rosin. Because Ronald Blanco after the game was so adamant. It's just rosin. It's just rosin.
But they ejected him and they suspended him. So, I mean, they probably feel that it was more than rosin. And I guess more specifically, as highlighted by Joe Espada afterwards, you're not allowed to have rosin on your non-pitching hand. So it's on his non-pitching arm at the very least.
Well, of course you're not. That's part of the rules. But the problem is that Major League Baseball doesn't follow the rules. Like, that's why I have a bunch of issues with this. First of all, Ronald Blanco, I'm going to be honest. You got to know the rules yourself, okay? You do. These checks are in place. But what about the checks the first couple innings? He had to be checked at least one previous time at a minimum. It just magically got worse. What about the day before? What about May 13th when the Dodgers and the Giants were playing? And a Dodgers player, there was an issue with his glove. I think it was Yamamoto. He had an issue with his glove. You know what they did? They let him change his glove. The Yankees, we saw it happen. They made...
That was last night, the Yankees won.
They let the guy wash his hands.
He got to wash his hands, you're right. So there's inconsistency, and for all the people who would like robot umpires, this is more ammunition for you. Because you would think that a robot would be consistent with its iron 1010111 sense of law. But you can't help but wonder if the Astros are getting jobbed, even if it's just a fleeting thought, because you're right, Joe. Ronel Blanco should have known better here. If it's on the wrong arm, it's on the wrong arm. But you do wonder about the consistency here and if the Astros are being made a you know, more punished, I guess, actor in this situation. And it sucks because here come all the, the Astros cheating again online. And then people looking at Ronel Blanco's awesome start to the year, and they're now skeptical about everything that he's done, seeing as he's doing this all at the age of 29.
And that's why I do feel like Major League Baseball, whether they want to suspend him or not and follow this up, I do feel like you owe explanations to these things. Because if you look at spin rate and everything before last night's game, during last night's game, there's no difference, right? So it leads to one of two things. Either the assumption from what you'll get from most opposing fans is that he's been doing this all year and people will be watching his next start big time to see what it looks like because the spin rate's been consistent. Or it means that he was doing nothing wrong in last night's game and it was just rosin and sweat. And in reality, he should not have been thrown out of these games. But the fact that the umpires don't have a standard. Now, they claimed after the game it's the stickiest stuff they've ever seen.
Okay. What does that even mean?
What does that mean?
That's subjective. If they actually had a way to measure stickiness, which I doubt they do, it's baseball, and even if it's been 3 years, I doubt that by now they have developed some method of measuring how sticky it was, let alone what actual substances are on the ball. And to what you're asking for, Joe, a little bit of transparency. It would be nice, but transparency would only make the baseball look bad here. If this investigation finds that perhaps it wasn't as sticky as this umpire said, quote, the stickiest stuff I've felt on a glove, well, do you want your umpires looking bad? They're already being called into question on a nightly basis based off of balls and strikes calls. So I would like it as well. We're not going to get it. There's not going to be an investigation. Blanco's going to get suspended for 10 games, and that's going to be an issue for the Astros.
Yeah, I kind of anticipate the same thing. I know Dana Brown is saying that he's hoping that they will do the investigation and they will hear back, and I know everyone keeps saying Blanco said it, Brown has said it, Spada said it, that it's independent, that it's not, you know, being done by Major League Baseball, by the Umpires Association. So in theory, it should be a neutral party. Right? But that's in theory. Because these things don't happen very often. Like the fact that you have players being allowed to wash their hands, to change their gloves, and then guys being suspended, there is no clear rule here that they're following, which makes it even harder and more complicated, I think, to alleviate his suspension. Because if you're actually going to throw him out, you kind of have to take the word of the umpire here if you're this independent guy.
Right, 100%. And I mean, what, do you think the umpire is going to afterwards, like he's a cop, he's got his tie loosened, he's smoking a cigarette, his wife's been nagging him because it's 8 p.m. and he's typing up a report about the investigation into the glove? Because, you know, if you're a police guy, there's lots of paperwork there. There's not going to be any effort put into this paperwork. They just want to move on to the next night. So Blanco's getting screwed here.
Yeah.
He should have probably known. A couple of people have correctly pointed out that, yeah, you'll see guys with rosin that's on their non-throwing arm all the time. And if you're a sweater, which I thought was funny, pointed out during the long pause by the Astros broadcast, well, Ronel Blanco, he sweats a lot, even though this game's indoors. Well, the air conditioning at Minute Maid Park doesn't work so well. So theoretically, it could have been sweat.
Yeah.
But yeah, ultimately, the Astros are just going to be without their best starter for two starts.
And without another guy on the roster. Like that's probably the bigger issue in all of this. It's not just losing Blanco, who's been excellent this season, because you have JV who bounced back, you have Javier who you hope will bounce back in his next start. Like you have all these guys who are performing well, but the problem is that you have Spencer Arrighetti, you have Hunter Brown who's now going to be back in the rotation, and they can't give you two innings because you're not allowed to replace Ronel Blanco. So yes, while it kind of works out for the Astros a little bit that they had six starters on their big league roster, the problem is now is that you've got no bullpen depth. And in last night's game was a huge win, I think, because you used all your bullpen and in a big way. So winning last night's game, who knows what the bullpen's going to look like today when they play. I don't even know how many of these guys are. They're going to be forced to be available when they normally probably wouldn't be.
Taylor Scott gave you two good innings. Credit to him. You also saw Rafael Montero strike out the side. Didn't see that coming. I mean, Josh Hader goes two innings. Pretty good. He still had some Ryan Stresley. He still had a lot of the issues that you've been seeing with the Astros on a nightly basis last night. The lack of hits with runners in scoring position. Yordan in particular struggling in that spot. But the bullpen stepped up. They're going to have to continue to step up. The good news is the schedule is a little bit easier, so you would hope that you're not going to see any Blair Henley moments out there in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, Javier starts today. You need more than 1.1 innings.
I agree.
Like you need a lot more than that.
How many more?
Five? At least. At a minimum, you need five. And, you know, and
it would be nice to have five.
Dana asked here on the Twitch, does anyone really care? No. I don't think, like, Major League Baseball players really care. In fact, it's the opposite. If you listen to Major League pitchers, they talk about when they changed the baseball a couple of years ago and there was all the sticky stuff going on, that people had an issue with it. And oh, no, sorry, Fromber's today. Javier's tomorrow. They had an issue with it because they couldn't grip the baseball. And guys like Tyler Glasnow have gone on record that say that they think that's what's causing the injuries. You have hitters who are saying that now these guys are throwing 99 or, I don't know, 103 and have a baseball in which they don't have as much control over. And hitters would rather the pitchers have a little bit of sticky stuff on their hands. So I don't know, 103 is not coming at their dome. So, like, no, to Dana, to your point on the Twitch, I don't think it's something that players really care about. And yes, as the Twitch points out, he's not suspended yet. He will appeal.
He's going to get suspended. The appeal's a pointless gesture.
You might have
to do it for the sake of doing it, but maybe it gets down to five. But ultimately, do you think that they're going to actually do due diligence here?
No.
That they're going to see what was on his arm? They're not cutting his arm off and putting it in evidence, you know? They're just taking the glove in. The glove is all that they are going to look at, and the glove has all the sticky stuff on it. Quote from the umpire, stickiest stuff I've ever seen. Whatever that even means, that's what they're taking in as evidence. So Blanco's effed. He's effed. It's over.
Yeah, I think once you get ejected, it's like 10 games.
Yeah. Just
right off that. And so he did get ejected. So I believe it'll be 10 games. Unless upset of all upsets. You know, maybe there's some mistake. Oh, you know what? You said the paperwork. Maybe there's a mistake in the paperwork. Mm. Get off on a technicality. Boom. Mistrial.
But it's not like baseball is going to share that paperwork with us.
No, that's the bad part, is that at least the U.S. justice system's public.
They only let the umpire speak with one reporter at the end of every game.
I hate that.
That's across sports, by the way. Yeah. It's the pool reporter. One person gets selected to ask questions of that umpire or referee if there's something that I guess is worth asking about. And this is definitely worth asking about, but the history of baseball enforcing or reinforcing a penalty on pitchers who are using sticky stuff after the spider tack scandal. I mean, I doubt things have progressed much more in terms of investigation from where they were with the initial suspension, which I remember me and my co-host Danny O'Neill up in Seattle were cackling about how they took a effing hefty trash bag, you know, with orange drawstrings, white. Maybe it was scented. Who knows? They just put the they put the glove in the bag.
I hope it wasn't scented. I feel like that like alters your tests.
I would think so. What a professional investigation. Like, there's no latex gloves that the umpires are putting on. I mean, it's a farce, and it sucks because, as you pointed out for Blanco, two other pitchers within the last 24 to 48 hours had the opportunity to change gloves and to wash their hands. And all you can really say is, damn it. There's nothing that's going to change, though.
Yeah, we'll read some tweets here from Dallas Braden when we get back. He's the color analyst on television for the Oakland A's, former pitcher, threw a no-hitter once upon a time. He actually like gave some well-thought-out, you know, takes on this. And unlike most of the things you'll see from the Twitterverse when people are discussing the Astros. So that and more on last night's game, we get back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I wonder what those umpires are doing when they go into this investigation of Ronel Blanco's glove, right? You got to put that paperwork together. Well, I might not like their ruling, but I hope that they're at least passing the time with a nice glass of Pendleton whiskey. Yeah, you drop a big old rock in a glass, two fingers worth of that amber goodness. It's lovely stuff. I have been telling you about this for over a year. Pendleton whiskey is a really good whiskey, especially as it gets hotter and hotter these summer months because it's smooth, but it's also very refreshing. Why is it refreshing? I mean, it's glacier water cut from Oregon's Mount Hood, but also you get the finest northern grains and it's barrel aged in American oak. You put it all together and you've got something that's going to satisfy your inner cowboy. And there's all sorts of cocktails that you can make with Pendleton whiskey. Check them out at their website. Really creative ideas, but you can also just have it the way that I do with the big old rock, the two fingers worth of it. It's Pendleton whiskey. You can get it at your local liquor store or at drizzly.com. Pendleton whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
So, Dallas Braden threw a no-hitter once upon a time, and he's the color analyst for the Oakland Athletics. He tweeted last night, in my humble opinion, this is nothing more than an accumulation of stick or gunk from sweat and repeated use of rosin on a day where it might be drier in the pool than on land here in Houston.
What's the difference between stick and gunk?
So, gunk makes me feel like there's like little chunks of it.
Yeah, that would be gross.
Like that's
gunk feels chunky.
Yeah. Gunk is chunky.
You guys both seem so sure about gunk.
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I mean, when I hear the word gunk, I imagine there's it's, you know.
Yeah.
There's some. It's not just a sticky substance. It's
okay.
It's like when you have pink eye, like that stuff that gets in the corner of your
gunk.
Eye. That's gunk.
Hmm. You familiar with pink eye and gunk too?
I have a 3-year-old. Of course.
Oh, okay.
Of course, listen. He gets pink eye.
Listen, I wasn't sure if you were a pink eye.
I'm not sure
survivor.
The last time I had pink eye, but children get pink eye often.
Okay, so gunk. It's different than gack, which was that stuff that you would get when you were young. Anyone get that as a Christmas gift? It's essentially like just orange Play-Doh.
No, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's called a gack.
That might have been out of service by the time we were getting close.
Probably. I doubt it was safe for children.
Did I
eat any of it as a kid?
Yes.
Who knows?
Oh.
Who knows?
Definitely. Everyone eats Play-Doh.
Didn't smell great, that's for damn sure.
It's just like part of life. You eat Play-Doh at some point. Yeah.
Awesome.
Play-Doh's the best.
They might as well just say eat those.
Yeah, it's like a little salty.
Did you eat the Play-Doh? It's a little salty?
Yeah. Like a nibble.
You didn't eat Play-Doh?
I didn't eat Play-Doh.
No. That's fake news.
I sniffed it. That's
Oh, yeah. Sniffing it. I mean, that's... If you're not sniffing it, where
yeah.
are you going?
Yeah.
You're the weird kid.
You were more like the one who was... Like, you were more focused on, like, the scented...
Markers.
Oh, yeah. Those are the best. Yeah, dude. No, I don't even need scented. Just give me
this
that.
This is a Sharpie.
Oh, yeah. Just Sharpie me up, baby. What? It's hard. Life's hard when you're a kid.
Dots all around your nose. It's like the fifth grade equivalent being like a crackhead.
Yeah. Give me that Elmer's. Hey, pass that Elmer's glue over here.
Yeah.
I'm gonna just guzzle some of that down.
The whiteout.
The whiteout. Yes. Well, whiteout was really. Oh,
but the fact that we're all so familiar with all these chemicals that kill your brain cells and we're doing this job, it all comes together, really.
Yeah, but none of us really know what rosin is, like what gunk means. And this whole situation is just so, it's infuriating. I hate Major League Baseball sometimes because it was such an overcorrection to Spider Tack, this stuff. Like, it's so clear he's not massively cheating. But once again, they're going to start, like what we talked about a little bit in the first segment. Most people are not Dallas Braden. Most people do not view this as a logical situation. One of the first things I saw last night was like the main Barstool account with like millions of followers or whatever saying, of course the Astros are cheating. And it's just annoying.
But this is the consequence of their actions.
For
you
sure.
Can't say they did nothing. They did something. I think more teams in baseball did things, but I don't know that as many teams did things to the degree that the Astros did. And this is what happens here on out. I mean, some of the Patriots incidents after Spygate, were they to the same degree?
Mm-hmm.
Deflategate, the recording from the Bengals during the Bengals game from the coach's box. But this is what happens. Whenever anything happens, you got to take it a little bit more in the shorts than you normally would.
Do you feel like they got tipped off?
I was curious about that because I wanted to know why they felt the need to investigate after the fourth inning versus the first inning. Because in the first inning, everything was okay.
Yeah.
Now, over a couple of innings, there's definitely going to be some sweat. But I want to know what it was they saw. Maybe it was somebody on the A's who noticed that Blanco was having the successful year out of nowhere and said, maybe he's up to something. Maybe you guys should take an extra look-see. That's the most plausible theory I can think of as to why the umpires decided after the third inning going into the fourth to take a look.
It's always one of those things, too, where I just don't understand why another manager would do that because your pitchers are also doing this. And Joe Espada has every right now. Like, it almost feels like an unwritten rule. I'm like, hey, we're not going to rat on your guys if you don't rat on our guys.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the A's, so maybe there's still some, you know, little brother syndrome there going on.
There was someone wearing a Mike Fiers Astros jersey at the game last night.
Yeah.
It was a weird one, too. It was like the jersey that I was wearing on yesterday's show. I don't know if anyone saw it, but I was wearing a white Justin Verlander jersey, but from the era of the late 90s pre-brick red Astros.
Yeah.
And I don't know where he got a Mike Fiers jersey that looked like that.
Dude, he had to custom order that.
I'm wondering where from. Like, Fanatics like, definitely doesn't have that right now. But
they must have at one point.
Maybe that was Mike Fiers back from Mexico on the run in disguise. And look, he played for the A's for a little bit. Did he tip him off? I don't know.
You
ask the questions.
You got to get rid of that thing. If you're an Astros fan, you can't. I don't care if it's an authentic jersey.
It is kind of funny.
Do you think? I don't think he's an Astros fan.
He might be an A's fan.
It's an Astros jersey.
But it's basically like wearing an Astros jersey with a middle finger on it towards Astros fans.
It is kind of funny. I like a good troll from every now and then, but I don't know what this person's motivations were. All I know is that there's a viral post of a person who is wearing old school white and blue Mike Fiers jersey.
It appears he is an Astros fan because I found him.
Oh.
He's in the Mark Berman comments.
Mark Berman is the reason that we all saw this because Mark Berman, who is now retired, tweeted out a clown emoji and retweeted the picture.
He said,
again,
get out.
We all spend way too much time on social media, but it's very to see an old grizzled news veteran calling somebody a clown. Hell yeah.
Yeah. That, he said clown should be escorted from Minute Maid Park.
He's calling for a hit on this guy. Not an actual hit.
Yeah. I love retired Mark Berman. He's much more unfiltered. But this guy said
he's unfiltered.
Words.
This guy said Astros getting caught cheating while I'm wearing a Mike Fiers jersey. Can't make this bleep up. But he apparently is an Astros fan.
Okay.
So
I think it's a funny jersey. I like that guy. I like the cut of his jib. Did he go full Mike Fiers and do the G beard that Mike Fiers did? That's the real question.
What do you think of the people on social media who have an issue with Joe Espada not like throwing a temper tantrum? This is the second time we've seen. The first time was the ejection, where he literally just like sat there talking to the ump and eventually got thrown out, but showed no emotion. And then last night, there seemed to be the roar of, where's the fire? Where's the anger from Joe Espada? I think it's stupid. I honestly think it's stupid.
Why? Why is it stupid?
The idea that Major League Baseball
players give your players a boost.
Yeah, okay.
That's how
that.
Baseball works. That's how I learned how to play baseball from MVP Baseball 2005.
That's a good point. Touche. But yeah, I don't know. It just seems like I don't know why people like feel the need that every time something bad happens to a team that you need your manager to throw a tantrum.
Well, okay, if you were in that situation, what would you have done? Would you have gotten mad? I think that's more what Astros fans are thinking.
Well, my honest opinion, my first reaction was he's not mad because he knows Blanco's in the wrong.
And he did say so when asked about it after the game.
Yeah, there's only so like so much performative anger you can do when you're like, no, the umpire has a good point. Yeah. That is against the rules. Like, I know that is against the rules.
I think,
still, come on.
Yeah, there's no point of getting thrown out of a game if, like, you realize that in that moment, yeah, he probably shouldn't be in here, even if it's a stupid rule and he could easily just change his glove. Like, what are you going to do?
Do you think he was like, we can have him wash his hands? Get him a new glove?
That's a good idea.
That's worked in the past.
I mean, if he's calm and rational there, I mean, those are things that he could have said. There's also probably an element of his body that doesn't want to get ejected and have some interim manager do decisions that get complimented as the game progresses.
Like what happened to him?
Right, exactly. Like what happened with him when he stepped in for Dusty Baker. People were like, oh, wow, he made some good decisions. Huh, maybe Dusty isn't all that important.
All right, 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. Let's go out there now and talk to John. John, what's going on?
Yeah, I play, don't laugh, serious foosball tournaments. Like, I've been ranked pro several times. And we use rosin. And we, on the handles, they wrap the handles with this, like, tennis-style grip. And they use rosin. And over time, you're sweating all day, and you have this rosin. You keep it more and more, and there's more sweat, more rosin. There's a buildup. And it also becomes, like, gunky, like, almost, for lack of a better word, boogery. I mean, it's super, it's like sticky, and I can understand why they think that something else is on there, but it's rosin and sweat alone gets that way.
Interesting. So, John, I'm fascinated by this. So how long do these foosball matches typically go? And, I mean, how much sweat is getting on them over the course of a foosball match?
Oh, it depends on the place where it's, sometimes the AC's not on good. I mean, you're actually, it's a lot more active than you think, too. People sweat, and, you know, the big tournaments, they have like 5 or 6 a year, and you might be playing football like 12 to 16 hours a day.
Holy
like
smokes.
11 in the morning to like 2 at night. So you're playing football all day, and you got these wraps you put on and take on and off, and they last a few matches. But the buildup on your hands, unless you clean them, you're going to have buildup on your hands.
Okay.
And it's rosin gets on there, and I could see where they can maybe mistake it for something else. Who knows?
John, I have one last foosball question. Are you allowed to do the thing where in foosball that – I know this is controversial among non-foosballers, but are you allowed to do the thing where you spin it and the guys, like, go really fast? You know what I'm talking about? Like, is that actually legal?
Yeah, no, you can't spin it, period. I mean, you can spin it. The man can't go on 360 degrees before or after he strikes the ball. So you just can't sit there and spin the rod.
Gotcha.
It has to be a controlled turn.
I'm glad we got this. Thank you, John. Now you're answering tons of people's questions because there is sometimes a lack of foosball etiquette out there. Thank you for the call, John.
And hey, John, thank you. If the Astros continue if they go back on their bad ways this season, maybe that's what we'll be talking about.
Big foosball.
So it will be a big foosball show.
Foosball segment.
Unwritten rules of foosball.
Yeah, thank you, John. All right, when we get back, soft boys. Who's soft? That's next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Soft boys, in a tough sitch. Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
We'll start locally here. Is the newest member of the Houston Texans soft? Stephon Diggs. He's tweeting a lot of complaints about Houston traffic.
Yes, and on top of that, Houston's roads. So he tweeted yesterday a series of comments. Hey, Houston, it's me again. I'm moving around better and starting to get the hang of this highway thing. While we're on the topic of driving, just want to say, y'all remember I said why y'all didn't tell me, blah, blah, blah. Just want to throw in there. Y'all, he says y'all.
Yeah, that's a new one.
Y-A-W, it's y'all, Stephon, it's fine, you'll learn. Could have shared the city roads get tricky. Potholes, speed bumps, and I don't know what to call them, but they make my car go in the damn air, damn near when I drive over them. Laughing emoji. Okay, so a little concerned that Stephon Diggs might be driving like Rashee Rice.
Yeah,
there might be some Rashee Rice tendencies here. Listen, Bob, you're in a hot place, okay? And the highways,
They're not great.
No, the highways are fine. The highways don't have the issues. The issues are on all the roads.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm starting to wonder, is he driving on the highway? It's like, is he on the feeder roads thinking he's on the highway?
Maybe.
Because the feeder roads
are
usually a disaster.
Right. The highways, I think, are about as smooth as it gets.
Yeah, like he's going from highways talking about speed bumps. Like, there's no speed bumps on the highways.
Yeah, definitely, or at least most of the places, like, relatively in town, like, the highways are nice.
Richmond Ave is the absolute worst. It is so bad. There are potholes everywhere. Westheimer has gotten better?
I mean, in, like, small little chunks.
Like, west of Montrose, it's better? I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, my first reaction was, how fast are you going?
Fast.
I also appreciate how he starts this thread of tweets with, hey, Houston, it's me again. No duh, it's coming from your Twitter account.
I think that's more of just like a, hey, watch out. It's coming rapid fire here.
Yeah.
Also, but he doesn't thread them either.
He doesn't thread them, which I find funny.
I do. I like his Twitter presence at least right now.
I enjoyed the way that he is learning about Houston for all of us to see too. Because when I first got here as well, I remembered, oh wow, there are lots of potholes on the roads, but
yeah.
you get used to it. Day one, Donna points out Chimney Rock is awful. Grinding coffee and whiskey says Westheimer is horrible.
Yeah, Chimney Rock is brutal.
Not great.
Yeah. Pretty much anything like where around where we work is really bad.
Not good.
Like this whole area in the Galleria is awful.
Well, yeah. I think they actually just started construction, speaking of Chimney Rock, at Chimney Rock and Westheimer. So it's just like where two hells meet, there's another hell because now the intersection's essentially blocked off if you're going north on that intersection.
Don't you love it when they do that, when they're coming in, they're doing construction to fix the road, and the first time they open it up, you drive on the road, you're like, it's better, but it's still not good.
like, is this really worth
this
all
like
the
a,
extra traffic you caused
like
us?
A different kind of bad, but okay. I can live with this, I guess.
The thing that I get most bothered by Houston roads is the random concrete medians are there and just create an absolute mess when it comes to people that are eventually trying to turn left to go somewhere, which I've gotten smart. And now, I mean, I just go to the lane to the right of them. And as I'm going through the intersection, pass probably in a bit of a tricky way, if not dangerous way, some of these people that are in the left lane. But these stupid medians, what is it trying to, are you trying to make Houston more beautiful? Like, what do these medians accomplish?
They should all just be the flat turn lanes. You're saying, like, just have them all. Yeah, I agree with that in general.
Here's a bush in the middle of Chimney Rock. Oh man, it makes me want to kill myself less as I'm waiting 12 hours to get home.
I will say, I also do the same move. I think it was learned from my dad, who might be a legend in the game of the Buzz the Tower move of when someone's inconvenient with you, you get uncomfortably close to them to, I guess, send a message. I don't know, but that has been passed down to me.
Text here from the 346, Joe George is still soft. Can't stop getting bullied by the Killer Bees.
Oh, what do they do this time?
I don't know. I know it's going to be bad today.
Why?
Jeremy is just going to start calling me Joe Espada. Because I sent out the schedule for next week.
Uh-huh.
And we've got some people on vacation, some things going on. So Jeremy has to, you know, be his own engineer for the Killer Bees a couple days when we're on remote. Mm. I didn't tell Jeremy. So he's now going to start calling me Joe Espada because of my lack of communication skills, apparently.
Oh, I thought it was how you're changing the lineup, too.
No.
What's about to happen? Who's getting fired today?
No lineup changes right now.
That's good.
I already stuck Paul with me, so we've already made our big change.
Is Paul the Alex Bregman of
I don't know, Paul. Is this moving down in the lineup?
Chronologically it is.
Is it?
He used to work at 10 o'clock. Now it's 12.
Yeah, I guess.
That is moving down.
Moving closer to prime time.
Yeah, closer to prime time. One step at a time. So it's like Alex Bregman back in fifth yesterday.
Yeah, crawling your way back.
And moving back up one step at a time.
Except for over, you know, the remaining 5 months. It's, five, 6, 7 years of, getting back to where.
Wow, we're going to do this show for the next 7 years?
I should be.
Awesome. Hey, so there's a tennis player who is not paying their taxes.
Yes, and also she's a lingerie model.
Oh,
if she needs help with paying her taxes, I can help. And here's what you do. You go to TurboTax.com and file an extension. You just file an extension. How long I would love to show her that in person.
How long do you have to finish filing?
October. I will eventually do it. I've never done this before, and I honestly feel like a piece
when of
absolute
garbage.
When do
you think you'll actually do it?
Probably within 3 weeks.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I have a timeline to doing a bunch of different things. I've procrastinated a lot of things this year. It's why I relate with Alex Bregman. I mean, I'm still sending out Happy New Year's cards from the beginning of the year. Yeah, I mean, why? Because I got 80, and was stupid. No, I have to do them, though. If I start something, I do it. I don't necessarily do it quickly, but I will do it eventually.
How many have you sent?
53.
Okay.
Okay, so you're barely on pace to get it done in time for the next
whatever. That doesn't matter. Is this random tennis pro, who's also a lingerie model, soft because apparently she's fleeing Italy because the tax authorities are after her? Is she soft for leaving her homeland for tax evasion?
Where is she going to?
Here.
Oh. I'm in.
No, she's not soft.
Does she need a place to stay?
Yeah.
Does she need a card?
So you know what, Paul?
I'll marry her. Tax.
Send her a Happy New Year card.
That might work. Happy 2024. Can't be that bad.
I imagine being a tennis player.
And lingerie model.
I imagine, and a lingerie model. Both those things. I imagine it's very complicated to do your taxes when you're, like, competing in a million different countries.
And a lingerie model.
You're a contractor, too. Yeah.
Camilla Giorgi is her name.
Wow, this isn't the first time she's been canceled, too.
Really? Like, she's been canceled before?
Looks like she had allegations of using a fake COVID vaccination card to play in the Australian Open in 2022.
She just wanted to play.
She's not big on paperwork.
Honestly,
yeah, that's what I'm
learning. She's not big on paperwork.
Like, it's like, if she has to fill something out,
honestly,
she's not going to do it.
Honestly, that might have aged well. That might have aged
well. I think it did age well, actually.
Someone on the Twitch asks if she has a LinkedIn. That's a great question. I'll do some research on that in the commercial break.
Do your New Year's cards say 2024 on them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if they just said, see, next year, Paul, this is what you do. Just get more generic ones that just say Happy
New Year. I used to do Christmas cards, and then I used to send it so late. So, no, actually, people in my family think it's hilarious that they randomly will get it in, like, February, March. But yeah, this is the latest.
So it's gone from Christmas to
Shut
New
up.
Year's.
Let me live my life, okay? It's been a tough year.
But why are you trying to send 80 of them?
Because some of us care about people in our lives. I don't know. Oh, I'm Joe. I have a kid. I'm focused on my kid and my wife. Oh, I'm Sean. I live with my family. Some of us are alone and sad living with a cat.
I mean, look, I know you're sad and alone and living with a cat, but like, you could.
Asking people out on LinkedIn, for God's sake.
You could give us cards.
Well, maybe I was going to give you cards.
No, we've seen you for 5 months.
Maybe you were on the list. Maybe you were on the list.
I hope we get 79 and 80.
Fine. You know what? I'll bring you cards tomorrow. And you know what it's going to say in the middle of in the card? You know what it's going
to
say?
Well, I have to dump it?
Yeah, get the dump button. Fuck you. That's what it's going to say. Happy 2024.
Oh, what else we got?
Soft boys.
Soft boys. Paul Gallant for getting rattled by everyone coming after him because he's such a procrastinator. The city council for a minor league team that plays in Milwaukee is setting a 55 decibel limit for the stadium. 55 decibels is not very loud, guys.
Yeah.
Supposedly, the rattling of a refrigerator is also 55 decibels.
What?
You're not going to be able to cheer. You're not going to be able to clap.
Where is this?
Milwaukee.
Ugh.
55 decibels is a level that describes moderate to soft sounds. In fact, it is comparable to a quiet home environment, a residential street, or a normal conversation between two people. Since it is under 70 decibels, it is not considered a harmful noise level. And this baseball team is in Milwaukee. They're playing in like a residential neighborhood. Franklin, it's the Milwaukee Milkmen.
What a
That's
name.
Their team name.
Good name, bad rule. Yeah. I was expecting this nonsense in like some small town where I'm like, okay, maybe that makes a little bit more sense if it's like the Sheboygan Milkmen or something where it's like, okay, I get where if any 5,000 people gather anywhere in this city, it'll be loud. But come on.
So we're going to get rid of fireworks, too? Is that what this is mostly about?
Yeah, no fireworks either.
That's lame.
I mean, why play it in this neighborhood?
Yeah, then leave. Like, honestly, that's what's going to happen. They're going to leave. Yeah,
they built a stadium here, though.
I can find a way to leave quickly. As soon as possible.
Look, city councils are more aggressive HOAs.
Yeah, this is just like a bunch of super Karens.
Right. City councils are the absolute worst.
Oh, man.
They really are. This seems like a real overreach of power. Why build the field if 55 is the decibel?
Yeah, that's crazy.
They're going to get fined every night.
I'd respect if it was like 70, to where at least that's like harmful.
Yeah.
By the book. It's
yeah, like
so
if you
soft,
want to just get rid of fireworks.
So soft, but that's still harmful.
Yeah, like no fireworks, no concerts, like I guess.
Is the manager not allowed to yell?
Yeah, like, Paul, you'd be screwed. You couldn't do a radio show there.
I think we reached 55 decibels the last 10 minutes.
So I guess maybe there is some room with in between the neighborhood and this stadium where it actually does sound like 55 decibels. And when fireworks go off, it's 75 to 80. So it might be a little more removed from the neighborhood. But man, yeah, the Milwaukee borough of Franklin, you are soft. If you don't want a base, if you don't want to have people making noise, then don't allow a baseball stadium to be built near you. Yeah. It's just a crazy,
the Space
crazy
Cowboys
idea.
They
would never do that. You're right.
Obviously, tomorrow we'll have the full NFL schedule, but we got a bunch of leaks for the Houston Texans, including who they will be playing on Christmas Day. We'll talk about that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
So tonight at 7 o'clock, the official schedule will come out for the 2024 NFL season, but we got Texans leaks all over the place. Looks like week one, TBD if it's home or on the road, Anthony Richardson and the Indianapolis Colts. Week two, Sunday Night Football, looks like, now these might be wrong, so these are just leaks. Sunday Night Football at home, Texans-Bears. Week three, I'm seeing, I guess, C.J. Stroud versus Sam Darnold and the Vikings. This one, next one, we have conflicting weeks. Week 7 or 9, they'll play the Green Bay Packers. They officially will not play the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving. The Cowboys will play the New York Giants. But the big ones.
Oh, God. We got NFC action foisted on us on Thanksgiving. Damn it.
Yeah, it's Bears, Lions.
Oh. Bears and the Giants. Give me a gun.
Giants, Cowboys.
I'm going to go out and hunt some turkey.
I'll be spending time with my family.
Yeah, me too.
Actually, they'll be watching the Cowboys game, so I won't be spending time with my
family. And then Packers, Dolphins.
That's not bad.
Will be the night game,
That's
it looks
bad.
Like.
That's fine.
And then week 16, it'll be a Saturday game. The Houston Texans will take on the Kansas City Chiefs. And then a couple days later on Wednesday, on Christmas Day, the Texans will play the Ravens.
I'm pissed about this. I'm so pissed about this. Not just that they're doing this back-to-back where they're playing the two toughest games on their schedule in a five-day period.
Yeah.
The NFL, which just has to have Christmas too. And has to have games on a Wednesday, which they're going to put on Netflix.
Oh, update on that.
Yeah.
If you're local in Houston, so like if you go to Florida, this will not help you. But if you are here in Houston, you won't have to have Netflix.
Okay.
NFL Communications said that these games will still be broadcast on regular television in the local markets. But yeah, Christmas
Day. So
it'll
be on CBS or whatever.
Yeah, Christmas Day, Texans football.
I've worked enough holidays. Like I'm done with this. I hate how the NFL just doesn't care about this stuff. Like, it's our job, so we are kind of beholden to the schedule. And, I mean, woe is me. My job is talking about sports on a daily basis. I'm not asking you to feel bad for me. I just think it blows to have two of the most important games of the year during a time when we're generally otherwise occupied with family. And, look, hey, it's a fun thing to do with family if they're in town or something like that. But, man, back-to-back weeks, a Saturday game and then a Wednesday game. That's a lot.
Yeah, so they'll play Sunday, Saturday, Wednesday. That'll be their schedule over 3 weeks.
Do we know where these games are?
Kansas City's on the road. Oh, I think they're both road games.
They're both road games? I mean,
the Ravens
even worse.
At home.
Even worse.
I don't remember. I'll pull it up right here. So, yeah, Kansas City is on the road. Baltimore is at home.
Okay.
So this is a home game.
Great. I can't wait to spend Christmas Day on NRG Stadium.
By the way, hit me up on Twitter at JoeGeorgeRadio. We're definitely selling our season tickets for that Ravens game. No chance in hell my wife and mother allow my dad and I to go to a Texans game on Christmas. 0% chance that happens.
Yeah, I hate
also,
it.
Also, don't know if I want to.
No, this is...
I do want to. That's the problem.
I want to go to the Ravens game. I don't know if I want to go to a football game on Christmas.
Wish they were playing the Titans or some losers. Instead, the two most important games of the year are during a time where I would like to spend with my family, which I get to see like three times a year. This is my own personal gripe. If you're excited about it, great. If you want to travel to Baltimore in mid-December, have at it. Sounds great. Or the Baltimore game is Christmas,
yeah,
right?
Baltimore's, okay,
you
yeah,
go
here.
To Kansas City.
Oh, okay, cool! Beautiful. You get to go to Arrowhead Stadium, where a bunch of people died of frostbite when
that
it was
happen.
In the winter months last year. Great, the barbecue will keep you warm as you freeze to death.
Yeah, I get why they're doing this. The more I thought, like I saw PFT tweet this. I didn't really think about it this way from the NFL's perspective. For anyone that's wanting to watch these games, like if we want to watch the Chiefs Steelers game, because that's the other Christmas Day game. To leave Netflix and then to go watch an NBA game on Christmas, they're essentially trying to kill the NBA. Like they're just making it more challenging.
Yeah.
Like you can't flip back and forth between breaks. Now some TVs are easier than others, but like it's
you have to exit the app.
Yeah, to leave Netflix and then to go into your regular cable
or to
go into a different app.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good
point.
By
the time you go from Chiefs Steelers to like Lakers Celtics. The football game's going to be back on. So like they're going to kill the NBA is what they're going to do.
I'm the biggest NFL stooge there is. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I didn't need this personally. Like I liked the NBA on Christmas as a tradition. I get why the NFL's doing this. They're trying to show how important they are.
A 5-day break the week of Christmas is ridiculous. At that point in the year, it is unfair to the players. The Thursday night games that late in the year are already kind of ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
But this is just one of those things where I get what they're trying to do. It's the most successful league in the United States of America for a reason, to the point where breaking down the schedule is actually must-watch television and a hit on the internet because every single team is going to do their cutesy little video where...
Yeah, I'll watch those. I won't watch them do this on television.
And they do a good job generally with them. I did think that last year Houston leaned a little bit too hard into the, like, hey, we're cool in the urban communities too, but it would be nice if they showed any love to...
That was Cal's idea.
...many Latin American fans who go to their games, but they, like, seem to ignore all the time. Whatever. Just a thought. But I hate that the NFL is overreaching. I don't think it's going to result in them getting slaughtered, though. That's what's crazy. Like, they just continue to get reinforced.
Yeah.
That this actually works. People watch the games that were on Christmas a couple of years ago. They watched them last year when they were on Christmas on not a Sunday. And, I mean...
At least that was like... Wasn't that like Saturday? Wasn't Christmas Saturday last year?
I think it was on
a Monday?
Monday or Tuesday.
It was like a more... I mean, it was...
Yeah, like this Wednesday.
Christmas
NFL
Eve was
day.
A Sunday. Yeah. Monday, I think, was Christmas.
And look, normally, like what I look for like with the NFL schedule is more like the weird quirks of this. So there's two... I guess, like, actual football concerns I would have. Like, you're playing two really good teams in a very short amount of time. I'm going to be super optimistic here for a second. Let's just say that they win one of those games and they've secured their playoff spot in which they don't need their players to play. Okay?
I don't know, though, man. We're talking tiebreakers.
But, like, if in theory they don't need CJ Stroud to play in Week 18, you can't do that. Because that means you would play on December 25th in Week 17 – if you rested your starters the following Sunday, and then you don't play till the week the following Sunday in the first round of the playoffs, like that's so much time in between games. Where like if it can get you healthy, but if you can't rest your starters in Week 18, like if you technically would want to,
I'm lost on this.
So like think about like so like let's say they don't want to play CJ Stroud Week 18.
Okay.
CJ Stroud would not play in a football game between December 25th and probably January 8th.
Well, hang on. The playoffs usually start like January 6th.
Or January 6th. Yeah, something like that.
So, because
a massive gap.
Well, Christmas is week 16 generally.
It's week 17 this year.
It's week 17 this year.
Yeah, week 16 is the Chiefs game.
They start the. So I guess the season's starting a week earlier or something?
Like? Yeah, so yeah, Christmas is week 17 this year.
That's surprising. Okay.
I thought the same thing at 2 when I first saw the schedule come out. I thought Christmas was week 16.
Yeah, I figured.
Labor Day is the 1st.
Yeah.
September 1st, yeah. I think. And so when that happens, college football and the NFL schedules get a little wonky.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So week 17 is Christmas. And and now it could be good, though. Like, if you have an important game the next week, though, at the same time, versus, let's say, the Colts to lock up the division like last year, you're going to have, 10 days to prepare for that game? So it could work in your favor.
But, I mean, odds are, so it's a divisional game the last week of the year. You're probably going to have the Colts or the Jaguars. So odds are you're going to be playing 3 playoff kind of games in a row. And the problem is, when you're playing 2 teams 5 days apart, I hate to overanalyze the schedule like this, those are 2 teams that theoretically, if you win the AFC South, you're competing with for the 1 first-round bye in the AFC. Yeah. And you're doing that on 5 days rest. Sucks.
I mean, you're hoping the Texans are in a position going into Week 16 when they're going to play the Chiefs where we're saying that, hey, if they win these next two games, they're the number 1 seed in the AFC. Like, that's what you're hoping the Texans are, the position that they'll put themselves in this year, is that they'll be able to capitalize on those 2 games in theory and lock up a bye in the playoffs.
I really hope that the Texans aren't such, how do I say this, sluts that they decide to be the annual Christmas game. I really hope that's not what they're going to try to do.
Like the Lions, how they, back in the 70s or whatever, volunteered to be the...
And then, was it the Dolphins or the Jets were the team that said they do the Black Friday game every year?
It was either the Dolphins or the Jets.
Yeah, Netflix did agree for... this is a 3-year deal for Netflix. So they will get holiday games, as it was reported, the next 3 years.
At least it's not going to be, I mean, I can double check, but I'm pretty sure it's not going to be on Wednesday like every year. Because I think that's what's especially heinous about this.
It's a Wednesday.
Is that, like, Paul, you said that they don't care about playing, the fact they play on Christmas. I actually say no. They, actively want to play on Christmas, that they are going out of their way to play on Christmas. It's just, yeah, I don't know. I don't really enjoy, I don't know why, just the NFL on Christmas, like Joe was saying, it's like, I'm good with one sport having this holiday. I don't know why.
I think the NBA is going
to
leave now.
I don't know why it just has to be the NFL for 4 straight months.
I agree. And look, I mean, I've worked so many holidays already. I'm kind of at the point where, do I really want to work another? I'm 35 years old. So that's one of the ways I'm looking at this right now, too.
I think it's fair.
But,
and, doing this, on the radio, at least on maybe the streaming numbers are different. And
I don't know.
Obviously, the live show, if you're on YouTube, might be a little different. There's so many fewer people actually listening to us do our job.
That's true. That's true. So, I mean, I might just take a vacation then and do stuff on the internet only. But
I wouldn't be shocked if we have nothing on that week.
Yeah, everyone, because everyone else is traveling too, or a large percentage of people are traveling, or they're spending time with their family.
Do you guys have an easy time watching sports on Christmas or on Thanksgiving? Because I'll be honest, it's always been difficult for me, even though my family knows that it's my job. It's always been hard for me to find a way to watch the games, even if teams that I cover are in those games. It's always hard.
Yeah, Christmas I'll be fine if, the game is on while I'm at my parents' house, but my wife does not like sports. So, I do not watch. I kind of miss out on Thanksgiving football, though.
Yeah, I do, too.
There's big pushback.
I was annoyed with my wife's family last year.
They don't watch American football. So, if we're at their house, the game's not on. And I don't want to be it doesn't happen. It's just, I wish it did. But, all right, we got a break. We'll continue this a little bit. Plus, we're going to debut a new segment. Are you down? With Dana Brown. That's next year on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.